looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living as we continue the month of September. This is the month of September, and it is Support September, Support Month. I am your light coach, Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. And just before we get in, I have surprised. I've got a whole bunch of surprises for the show, but this is a really new one for me. I'm really happy to say that Light on Living has a new sponsor. And so I just want to let everybody know who that sponsor is, and then we'll dive right into the show. But you know, this is what it's all about. Digital marketing can be very frustrating. Goodness, do I ever know that one. Well, Daryl Stern makes it positive and simple. He really does. Become the influencer you're always meant to be and get Stern. Join the Stern Marketing Academy at sternmarketingacademy.com. And Daryl is actually the voice of Scooter Computer on ABC Schoolhouse Rock, and for 30 years has been teaching entrepreneurs how you are a gift to the world, and the world needs your gifts. And so I thought that was a really great timing that we have our special guest, and I'm going to introduce her to you in a minute, and Daryl, because it seems that we have to get a way to get these messages out to everybody, and it's mostly what we've done in our careers and our lives and how we show up and how we step up. But we cannot show up and step up if we do not nurture ourselves. And today's show really, really is, I think we've got the perfect person for this. It is Cheryl Piper, and she is going to be sharing with us about nurturing the caregiver. And that's just not, you know, the caregivers we hear about in society and our community, but it's ourselves. And we are going to be talking, what does nurturing ourselves actually mean? And the importance of strengthening our commitment. And I have to just share this little story. I, for the first time, have experienced sciatica. And let me tell you, you get forced into nurturing yourself when you have sciatica because you can't do anything other than constant stretching and poses and correcting. So I'm really excited to talk to Cheryl about this. But Cheryl Piper, with numerous, and I mean numerous, certifications and just training behind her, she really, really is, I want to say this, a master at relationship coaching. And that's business, it's personal, and it's even with ourselves. But I also have to share that she is a certified heart math coach. That speaks volumes to me, because what we choose to educate ourselves in and learn and what we're attracted to, and that one for sure, oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk to her. So welcome, Cheryl, to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
No, thank you so much, Lisa. I am so excited to be here, and I'm looking forward to our time together. Thank you so much.
Ah, thank you. And like I said here, this truly is coming at a time for me, because when I think anybody thinks of self-nurturing, self-love, we just finished a month of self-love, they think, I don't have the time, or I don't deserve it, or no, I want to give. But our bodies can force us into a time of self-nurturing. But I want to ask you this right off the bat. Sometimes we don't recognize or honor when, because our business might not say, no, we're stopping you. You've got to stop and nurture yourself, even in business, for everything. It goes to everything of our life, every area.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking, as you were telling your story about experiencing that sciatica challenge.
Yes.
But I'm thinking to myself, this is what happens. This is what can happen to us. You know, if we're not taking that time and you're working on that commitment of self-care, all of a sudden our body says, hey, guess what? You're going to do it. And believe me, I've been there just as you're saying, the same thing. And it's like, wait a minute. Okay, I guess I'm going to have to take a few days. I'm going to have to do some self-care here. And so in giving ourselves, just having that routine, having that commitment to ourselves of daily stepping into that self-care, you know, it really does help us to have less of those times where the body just says, hey, we're done. We need to rest.
Yeah. Because it's not very fair of us to go to such extremes. And that is a great word you just said, routine. Because I know I had to set my alarm every 30 minutes to, even though I was in pain, I had to remind myself every 30 minutes to get up. No, you got to get up and do these stretches. Why is it we ignore the routine that was so needed? Like, why do we do that?
Well, I would have to say it's probably, you know, how we're raised and you know, we're just go-getters and we want to get out there and do. And we really think that we have enough. I want to start in saying this, is that it's coming to that understanding that we need to fill our cups first to overflowing. Because if we fill our cups with that self-care and that self-love and that kindness and compassion and all of those things that we want to give to the world, we need to first give those things to ourselves, which fills our cup to overflowing. And then there's plenty for us to give to the world because we're not depleting ourselves. We have plenty. And I want to talk more about that, but I'd like to start there.
Yeah, that's that. And coming from a place of depletion, what kind of quality is our giving, really?
Exactly, because when we start from, let's say we start from one, and then we keep giving and giving and giving, we're going into the minus, into the minus, into the negative. I talk to people like, let's say it's like you're a bank, and it costs 100 points to operate your system per day and do everything that you need to do.
Oh,
and if what you're doing is just constantly going into debt and depleting and depleting and depleting, you know, then you have to start borrowing, which, you know, you're going to start going into your cellular system. You're going to start going into your own energy. You're going to, because you got to get the energy from somewhere to keep doing what you're doing. Whereas if you replenish your 100 points before you begin your day, then each day you have that and you're not depleting. You're filling yourself to overflowing and you have plenty to give rather than feel like, because I ask people this, you know, do you feel tired, just exhausted? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you just, other people are feeding on your energy, like you're having trouble staying focused and on task? These type of things are telling you that you are having your energy depleted and you need to take some time for some self-care, self-love, self-compassion.
Oh, I love the word compassion. Oh, it just even has a good vibration to it. And that's a really neat, I really value that you use the word points versus dollars. That's really interesting because you talk about a bank account and sometimes there's such a, you know, vibration to like that we always need more. We need more money. We need more this, more that. But points is a kind of a neat thing. So if we can imagine starting off the day, we want to wake up with 200 points if we only need 100 that day.
Exactly. Because then we are overflowing, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so I love that you're talking about like where we need to start and a starting place. So if somebody were to come to you as a client and they say, yes, I'm tired and I can't focus. Actually, lack of focus is really truly a thing that they do need nurturing, isn't it? Because there's no focus and grounding and starting point. Mm-hmm. Where would you take them to start? What would that look like?
Well, you know, one place that I really like to start with most everyone is to talk about gratitude. Because when we can feel grateful for our life and what's in our life and the abundancy that we do have. Because so many times when we're in this situation of feeling exhausted, like we're giving and giving and giving, and we're not really seeing everything that we do have. And gratitude will shift your energy really faster than almost anything is sitting for a moment and really thinking about all the wonderful things that we do have in our lives and that we do have to be grateful for. And it causes that shift away from that I call it lower level energy. I call it swimming around in the muck is what I call it. Because you just feel like somebody's just pulling at you and you're being drained and it's negative and things are always going wrong. Two, when we start to just sit and think about the things that we have to be grateful for.
I want to ask you how you – is there a thing that you use? Because right now, oh, my gosh, that was a phenomenal – I don't think I've ever swum around in muck, but I actually feel like I have because I really went, oh, I can feel the thick, sludgy, mucky, grossy, I can't get anywhere feeling. So if I were to be in that muck and in that of my life, and I go, gosh, should I just sit down and look around my life and see if I'm grateful for something? Like, how would you help someone get there?
Well, that's a beginning point I like to talk about. I do a lot of talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge. Forgiveness of oneself, forgiveness of whatever you've received that has happened to you, those type of things, and stepping into that space and letting go of those things that we're just dragging around with us. You know, when I can talk to people and they'll be telling me about a situation and I'll think it just happened. And believe me, I think fresh wounds need, you know, time. You know what I mean? They need that counsel, people being able to talk that out, get that energy out when something just happened. That's very important. But when I'm talking with someone and then I find out what they're telling me happened 10 years ago, or happened 5 years ago, and they're still so mad about it, and they're so upset about it, and they're telling the story and giving the story so much life, like you can feel like it just happened to them, and in their mind it is just happening to them, because the mind doesn't know any difference between is something happening right now, something happening 10 years ago, because if you are reliving it every moment of every day, then you really are reliving it as though it just happened. And your body is under that stress as though this challenge just happened. And so it's stepping into that forgiveness and learning to let go of those things that we're carrying around with us that no longer serve us.
Oh, I love that line. Actually, it's one of my favorite lines, that no longer serve us. I have a huge question for you, and I'm excited to ask you now because you brought this up. And there's no right or wrong. This is, you know, opinion and what have you seen, but there are so many, I even myself go back and forth. Do we, like, let's say tapping or therapy and coaching, some say it's really important to go into the details of the pain story and or of the hurt in order to let it go. And I really struggle because I don't like to be uncomfortable. So I'm like, no, stop it. We're done. We're not talking about it. Don't stay there too long. What is your opinion about that? Because if it's no longer serving us, I have a really, my best friend, actually, her house burnt down. And you're going to you feel that for a while. You're going to talk about that for a while. But yeah. How much longer after? Because, yeah, you're right. 5, 6, 7 years later, it could feel when you tell the story, you're right there again. But is it important to feel the story again or let it go?
Well, one thing, let me see how I want to answer this. I want to say it in as far as the story goes. This is something that I do, and I expect from my friends, the people that are really tight and close in my circle. Mm-hmm. Because as I said, when something happens, you need to talk about it. You need to get that energy out, and that is important. That's important to process that and to let those feelings out and move through. And so what I say to the people closest to me is I say, you can listen to me talk about this 3 times. That's it.
Oh.
And after that, you have to love me enough to say, no, Cheryl, I'm not going to give your wounds that kind of pain or that kind of power over you anymore. I give my friends that permission to say that to me. And there have been a few times when people have had to say that, because when we're in the thick of something, we don't realize how many times we've said the story. You know, and so having that tight group of people around you that you can trust in that way. So that's just I wanted to share that with you, because that's just a personal story for me. that because what happens is the energy shifts. The more we keep talking about the story and wrapping a story around the feeling that happens in whatever that situation was, the more life it takes on of its own. And then after time, you know, it shifts. The energy of it shifts from the situation that happened to me, or I like to say situations happened for me, because they're for my growth. There's a lesson here, and I choose to see the lesson as quickly as I possibly can so that I can move forward out of that energy of whatever that situation was. But if we choose to tell the story over and over and over again, then it shifts us into a victimhood state. And when we're in that victimhood state, then we're gaining kind of traction from that story, and the energy turns into something else. It turns into a almost like a power statement for us, or a controlling type of a situation for us. And it's harder to let go.
Yes. And oh my gosh, there's so many things that I want to, you just gave us a lot. I actually love that. Like I want to talk about the victimhood, because there, like what you said, there's traction from a story. And I love that you said, love me enough to say no. And so we're going to have to sneak off to commercials in about 30 seconds. So I was like, anyway, there's so many goodies in there. So really, truly, I do. I would love just to talk about victimhood just for a tiny second, because there's a difference between victimhood and nurturing, of course. And if we could just go through that when we get right back after these commercials.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Oh, well, thank you, everybody. You are listening to Light on Living. And once again, I want to thank our sponsor, the Stern Marketing Academy, just sternmarketingacademy.com. And so grateful to be sitting here because Cheryl Piper here. This is a really special time for me to be able to share with her. And it's been months. I mean, we spoke months ago, and we've been looking forward to doing the show. And I think it's nurturing the caregiver is so important that we, you know, from everything from boundaries that we have to set, that others need to set, to I often think about this, victimhood and nurturing. And why I want to jump back into this part, Cheryl, is because sometimes when people are living their lives and they think that they are that victim and they finally do get help, but they're getting help, let's say they want to go for a massage. Let's say they want to go to therapy, coaching. Let's say they want to do anything that's going to, they think, nurture them, right? But they're doing it mm-hmm. from a place of victimhood. Does that matter what place they are coming from when they nurture themselves?
Well, that's a great question, Lisa. I'm so glad you asked that because there have been situations in the past throughout people moving into this self-care of massage, like you're saying, and doing these other things for themselves where they feel that they're going in and laying down. I'm going to use the massage person because it's an easy example, it's a nice visual. There it used to be a time when they would go in and they would lay down and they would just like say, okay, massage worker, do your magic and heal me, make me better. And that thought process versus that thought process of being responsible. And I'm going to bring it down to that because I speak about that a lot, you know, with my clients in my shows that I do each week. Bringing that personal responsibility into your space. Because if I'm going to go get a massage, I'll just use myself as an example, I am going to be completely in tune with what's happening and allowing that energy into my space and allowing whatever it is that person's gift is to flow through me, understanding that it's a give and take. I have a job here too. And that person isn't going to just heal me. I have to work on healing myself by being open, by allowing that energy in, and by allowing what, as I said, whatever it is they have to flow into me and understand that there's a responsibility on my part.
What a beautiful response. I love that. That is so true. And you made me think about this when I was, Oftentimes, I'm not a big huggy, touchy person, and, you know, if somebody wants to give me a hug, or maybe even I need a hug, it's my responsibility to be open to receiving a hug. Otherwise, you just stand there, and you're like, don't touch me. No. or the other way, if that's like, here, yeah, you fix me. I don't have any part of this. And so that really made a lot of sense to me. So if we are, let's take the role of a caregiver. And sorry, why is it that you are so drawn to, like, my sister's a personal support worker, and she's very drawn to it. Why are you drawn to, right now, really helping caregivers who are helping the elderly, their family members, people who are in need?
Yes, I do have a class that I'm going to be actually doing in the Buffalo area next month, and it's wrapped around that. It's wrapped around self-care, and one of those classes is about the caregiver. Oh, and I did read your post, and hi, Bev, your sister Bev. So, yeah, that was so sweet that you dedicated the show to her, and Bev and everybody out there that are caregivers, thank you so much for everything that you do. Because it is so important as to you bringing your light to the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's part of it. I feel that I have a job to do while I'm here. We all have a job to do. We came here to do something to make the world a better place, to create a better harmony between others, and understanding what that is. And that gift that we have to be able to share out to the world. And part of that is why I'm sharing this with caregivers, because I understand that in that area, so many times people are doing a lot of giving and giving and giving. And it is within, that's in their personality to be that whether that caregiver is, like you said, for the elderly, or maybe it's a child caregiver, or maybe it's someone that's caring for someone who has health challenges, whatever that is, you're somebody who wants to give. And so therefore, in order to be able to do that, as we stated earlier, you need to fill your cup and have it running over. Otherwise, that energy, you feel it. And I'm sure those people out there that are in those situations feel those questions that I asked earlier. Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling exhausted? Are you feeling like people are just kind of feeding on your energy and pulling on your being?
Ooh, and I'm so glad you said that right there, because this is where the boundaries comes up. If somebody is feeding off your energy and you ourselves, we feel like we're being pulled upon, is that up to us to set those boundaries then? And how do we do that? And what does that even look like?
Well, it is up to us to set those boundaries, because everyone has a different idea of what those boundaries are for them. Mm-hmm. And if I could share this, I find that the more I come into my awareness, the smaller those boundaries need to be, because I'm in my strength of holding my energy and holding my vibrational frequency. And I am sending that love and light out to all those that are around me, because I truly believe that an open heart is absolutely unstoppable. But us getting to that space, there's a process in learning those boundaries. And most of the time, I would say it starts out with learning assertiveness, because so many times we don't think about the fact that there's something between being aggressive and being passive aggressive, that there's this space called assertiveness. And the way I describe that is, because I am an assertiveness coach as well. I know we have talked about all these different certifications, I have that as well, because this is so important, especially in being the caregiver, to know how to step into that space of speaking your truth and speaking it with kindness and compassion to that other person to whom you're speaking. Because so many times, if someone has an aggressive personality, they just kind of come in and they're like a bulldozer and they just plow all over everyone and they, you know, just are screaming their truth and whatever that is, and they're not really worried about what of that. And then there are people who are more in that passive aggressive situation, which is a little bit harder to see, because it's more of a maneuvering type of an energy they use. They try to maneuver around people. And almost like being on eggshells, kind of, and just trying to maneuver the situation. Whereas
so enlightening. I can't even believe that right now. This is crazy that you're an assertiveness. I think everybody should see you, actually, for the assertiveness coaching part, just to get a little step one in there.
Thank you. Because it is so important in creating boundaries. Because us standing in that space of knowing what works for us and what doesn't work for us, and to know that we have a voice and that we can speak that voice with kindness and compassion to someone else. We can't control how someone is going to hear what we speak.
Right.
That if we speak it with that energy, it's coming across in that way. If that makes sense.
I can't even believe this. This is crazy pants. I have to tell you, Cheryl, I feel like you're a gift to me right now, because I'm just going to share this right now, and I can tell everybody this. I am probably one of those caregivers, those nurturers, and I have such an overflowing cup, and I want to give, but then I do know what it is I need. But what happens is I'm not so great at those that I used to be, and sometimes, you know, I let it go, and then my boundaries aren't set, and I become that passive aggressive. I can feel it right now, and my perfect example is I know that I can only, let's call it socialize. I can only socialize, hang out, be around other people, maybe go to a barbecue or picnic or something, right, for so many hours, and it really is not that many, by the way. It's like two or three, And then after that, I know that I need to retreat. I need that's over for me. It's good for me. But then I'll, you know, let them talk me into staying longer or later. Or then I go, oh, now I didn't get to do this, what I need to do. And now that, and then I all of a sudden go, I needed to get home and blah, blah. And then I'm freaking out. And there's that passive aggressiveness. But that's me truly not knowing how to be assertive. And can you define that word right now? Because I'm in love with it and I don't know what it means exactly.
Well, and that is the way I define it. I define it in that way I just described. As assertiveness is being able to speak in that situation. Yeah. And what I do is I teach people different words to use. And so to be able, that's how we come across with kindness and compassion to ourselves and to others. Because in that, and believe me, I understand, that is great that you use that example, because that's me too. I'm right there. I'm the ambivert. You know, I'm great in social situations to a point, and then I need my time alone to recharge. That's who I am. So that's a great example. But in looking at that, when someone is like, oh, you know, come on, Lisa, stay a little bit longer. And in that situation, just kind of shifting the words a little bit and honoring yourself. I use that word a lot, you know, honoring, because I have to talk about this sometimes too with money when we're looking at charging someone for what we do. And I know that's a big one with caregivers or healers or, you know, light workers. And I use those words like I need to honor myself and what I do. And this is how much I charge for XYZ. And it is an honoring. And so what you're doing in that situation with the barbecue, you know, I would love to stay, Sally. But, you know, I really need to honor how I'm feeling at this moment. And I really need some rest. And thank you so much, sending much love. But changing those words changes the energy, and what it does is it allows you to speak, as I said, speak what is true, but do it in a way that's kind and compassionate for their ears to hear, that if you could stay, you would, but you simply need to go.
You know, I think there's, I love that you said the shift in language there, because I can tell you that it wasn't me honoring myself. It was defending and validating and trying to prove why my reason was better than their reason for me for staying. So that is a huge, I can feel the difference right now in being prepared with more, would you say, kind and compassionate language. And right there, that is a way of nurturing the caregiver, isn't it, to wrap things in kindness and compassion.
Absolutely. And because one of the things that happens, I hate to talk about all the different coaching things I have certifications in, but I'm a conversation coach as well. And so what I heard you say is when you were in that conversation, what happens to us a lot of times in conversation is when someone comes at us and we're not really prepared to stand in our truth or stand in our assertiveness and speak with love and compassion, we get thrown into what's called an amygdala hijack. And that's it's the primitive part of the brain, the amygdala, and its job is to scan for threats. And so in that moment, when your friend was speaking to you in that way, of course, they're coming at you with all the love in the world because they want to hang out, they want to have fun, you know, stay, Lisa. And so you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I need to go. And so the amygdala is, its thought is, I have to protect Lisa. I have to protect Lisa. Lisa's being threatened right now. And so what happens when you go into an amygdala hijack, I talk a lot of neuroscience too, but not too much to bore people. Hopefully, what happens when you go into that amygdala hijack is it takes over and it closes up your world pretty tight, because you're in a distrust space is where you are. You're in a protect mode, and you really can't access the prefrontal cortex any longer, because it kind of shuts down that connection to that creative area of creative thought is, where inspired thought, where, you know, co-creating with people and just really being in the zone and having a great conversation. that gets shut down because you go into protect mode. And so what you did, and when you went into protect mode, is what happens is you do one of four things. You're either going to do fight, flight, freeze, or appease.
Oh.
And so,
oh my goodness, fright, flight,
fight, flight, freeze, or appease.
Oh. Oh my goodness. Okay.
So when you were in that moment with them, you were in fight mode because you were trying to argue. You were trying to bring up all the reasons, and you were trying to convince them, and you didn't have to,
right?
You know, but the amygdala was it had taken over because it was trying to protect you. It was like, oh, I got to get Lisa out of here. Lisa needs to rest. And so let's do whatever we need to do to maneuver this situation. And because so many times when we're in that situation where we go to an amygdala hijack, we'll think later we'll be like, well, I should have said this. And why didn't I say that? You know, that would have been okay. But of course you can think about that later because you're not in that state anymore. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. This is so valuable. I hope that everybody is in their lives right now thinking or relating or going, oh yeah, you know, that situation. And I, you know, and of course I am kind of thinking of my sister in the giving and how something she's ready to go give a client fully. And, but then, you know, she's got someone in her life that sends her a text and all of a sudden she goes into, ooh, amygdala hijack. And then now she's going to feel even more drained when she's trying to do her gift, when she goes to do what she needs to do because she's got all this going on. But when we are in about 30 seconds again, we're going to hit commercial, final commercial. And then when we come back, because right now, oh my gosh, now we get really emotional. We did share all your certifications because I can see how valuable they are. Conversation coach, assertiveness coach. You've got a heart math, which of course is the vibration. And if you don't mind, I would actually like to talk a little bit about your courses and what you offer when we come back, because I think right now I'm finding such great value in 4 minutes of what you've shared.
Thank you so much.
Aww. So everybody, come back right after the commercial break, and we're going to find out exactly how you can be helped and nurture yourself.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us here on Light on Living. And I think the best way to start with lightening, you know, the love of life challenges is definitely with loving and caring for yourself. We have Cheryl Piper here, and please go and check out her page. And there, she's got two of them, so I want to make sure that we go to the right one. I tagged her properly now on Facebook. And, Cheryl, I feel like that was a disservice not to have shared all your certificates now, because first of all, you were trying to have the passion to go to each one of these, but you've got, that's an interesting, all your the ways you teach are interesting and how you help. So let's actually talk about them, because there must have been a flow to how you went from one to the next. So which one came first?
Well, actually, my degree in metaphysics came first, metaphysical science. I mean, that's what came first when I really started my path in this direction. And my thesis that I wrote for my master's was entitled The Power of Perception, because perception is so important in how we view our reality and how each person views the world through their lens. And I moved into, I think I did assertiveness, then I did heart math, went through the my life coaching training. And so I have that integrative life coaching training, which, you know, deals with the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. I tend to fall a little more on the spiritual, emotional side of that, you know, with what I do. And, moving into the conversation, because they all kind of flow together. And that's why I say, oh, I'm a relationship coach, because you can see how all of these things really come down into what is that relationship that we have with ourselves. And when we are on that space of having that kindness and compassion and forgiveness for ourselves, then it opens up the whole world for our personal lives and relationships, for our business life and our business relationships. Everything opens up. So that's kind of why I say I'm a relationship coach.
And I love that word of all. I'm a holistic nutritionist, and my main thing is understanding the relationship you have with food. And it's so funny, Cheryl, this is the first, I don't think I've ever used this word so much, but the word tender and tenderness has been so important to me lately. And I don't know if you're getting a vibration from that word or not.
I am.
It's like a word hug. I don't know. But it just offers this. And I noticed that as soon as I recognize that I've been hard on myself or giving too much or all those not so great feeling places, I just stop for the moment to take a breath and offer myself some tenderness. And it does softens my heart, softens everything. I don't know this at all. So in heart math or in just your learning teachings, do we really harden our hearts, and can we truly soften our hearts to receive and give a different vibration?
Oh, that's a beautiful question, Lisa. Yeah. And yes, I had made a statement a little bit earlier where an open heart is unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I feel the love, that vibration coming out of my heart energy zone. But there are things that can close the heart, fear, grief, heartbreak, anger, these type of things can kind of, can close down that heart energy. And so when I spoke earlier about swimming down around in the muck, those are the lower level energies that I'm talking about. When we're trapped in fear, when we're trapped in anger, when we're trapped in despair, when we're in this guilt, all of that type of energy, it really closes down our heart area and other areas of our energy system as well. But when we can step into, I love that you use the word tenderness, and be kind to ourselves and have compassion for whatever the situation is. Because it, you know what it reminds me of? This just came right off the top of my head. It reminds me of the fourth agreement in the movie, in the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And that fourth agreement is always do your best. Mm-hmm. And I love the way he describes that because, you know, he describes it as, you know, your best is going to change from moment to moment, depending on, you know, if are you healthy, are you sick, you know, what's going on in that moment. But if in any circumstance you're always doing your best, then you're going to avoid self-judgment. You're going to avoid self-abuse. You're going to avoid regret. You're going to avoid those things by understanding that in each moment, I'm doing my best.
Oh, that is very tender. Oh, and I think that everybody, if you can find out that your best is just you coming with what you have at that time. And if you are looking for a different result, then would it, that means that, yeah, I think you need to look inward and go, I need to get more points in that bank account. Mm-hmm. Do you have certain steps that you would suggest to people or where they can start to do?
Well, there are so many. I mean, it really depends on the situation that people are in. And I do have that whole course lined up, you know, coming into the Buffalo area. And I'm going to be creating those courses for people to be able to do online. I mean, currently I only have one online course available on my site and on my Facebook page.
What is that one online?
That one is called The Art and Science of Communication and Conversation.
Ooh.
And so it's all about what we were talking about with that neuroscience, how are we communicating? It talks a lot about being able to have conversation with anyone, even if you have nothing in common with them. And it's how you show up.
Right. And that is so true. And we kind of are all the same. And we have all different details and experiences and goals and dreams. But kind of we really do. We think we don't have anything in common, but we really truly do. And it is the way we show up.
It is the way we show up. I mean, are we showing up to be right and to try to prove a point and show everybody how right we are, which that's the ego. We know that. That's the ego being in charge. And, you know, we all know what road that's going to take us down because, you know, I didn't speak much about the ego, which is a little strange for me because I usually talk about the ego a lot, you know, because the ego, you know, it just wants to, it will always find problems for us. Yeah, because it just loves to keep us busy, you know, down in problems and situations and anything it can do to keep us from stepping into all of these things we've been discussing today, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's
when we step into really understanding who we really are and all of these gifts that we're talking about are already in us, you know, just ready to come out and be discovered. You know, that's the ego gets a little kind of shaken up because it understands that when we step into that space, it's kind of, it's not going to be in charge anymore of, you know, creating problems and having us run away and try to fix those problems. And I often say too that the ego doesn't want anything. It simply wants to want, period.
Oh, that's interesting. Ooh. So we can't really, that's so neat if we realize it's like perpetuating, it's going to keep building, like what you said, it is going to keep us busy and keep searching. And, can you say that again? Ego doesn't want anything. It just wants to keep going? Sorry.
No, it just wants to want.
It wants to want.
It wants to want. So let's say, if I can just, you know, if I could just get, you know, that new car, oh my goodness, I'm going to be so happy. That is all I want to do. That's my only focus. And then I get it. And then, you know, the ego's like, off to something else. Okay, well, now we need, you know, this. And now we need this. And it will always keep us in that perpetual state of want and never satisfied. And then people were saying, I just want to be happy. I just want to be peaceful. And all of that comes from within. But so many times we're looking for it outside of ourselves, thinking it's somewhere out there for us to find. And it's not. When we realize, it reminds me of that, I think it was in The Power of Now when Eckhart Tolle, the Zen master, and the student, they were sitting in the woods, and the student said, they were sitting in silence, and the student said, "Master, how do we enter Zen? How do I enter Zen?" And he thought for a moment, and then he finally spoke, and he said, "Do you hear that brook? Do you hear that babbling brook, that stream?" And he said, "Yes, I hear it." He said, "Enter Zen from there." And then later the Buddhist, the student, the Zen student said, "Master, what if I wouldn't have heard the brook? What would you have said to me?" And the master said, "Enter Zen from there."
Aww.
It's still the same. It's from within. And until we realize that we need to look within and remove these layers of the ego that are creating problems for us and challenges for us and making us maybe feel like a victim. We talked about that a little bit earlier. All of those things, then we start to lighten that load and we start to feel the peace. We start to feel the love. We start to feel the compassion. And that's a process. And this is a journey. And I like to say that as well, is we're on our journey, but everyone's on their journey. And no matter what we're going through, if we're a caregiver for someone, if we simply pass someone on the street, everybody has their own journey. And I feel my job is to be kind and compassionate because the present moment is the only time we have. And so in that moment, give love.
It is. I love that you actually really highlighted and acknowledged that when we recognize, I know that when I recognize that everybody else has their own journey and it's just as important to them as it was to me, too, know that my life got so easy. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, look, I don't have to do that for them. They have their own.
Right.
Because I'm going to lose you in just a minute because actually Cheryl has her own show that she's going to be starting in just a few moments. But if you would, please just give us a few details that you could about the upcoming workshop that you have in Buffalo.
Oh, well, there are a few.
We can do that where we can find about them.
Santosha Holistic Center. I'm going to be there on Friday, October the 19th. Be Healthy Institute. Wednesday, October 17th, and Her Sanctuary, Saturday, October the 20th.
Wow, those are beautiful names for all those places, too. So, Everybody, we're going to have to let Cheryl go so she can be prepared. Actually, if they want to continue on with you right now in like 5 minutes, where can they go to catch your show?
My show is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time on Facebook. I do a Facebook Live, I live stream, and they can reach me there on my business page, which is at Cheryl Piper Sends Love.
Oh, I love that.
Kept it simple and made it about who I am, and it just kept it simple. And so they're welcome to check out the show. They can come live, be part of the show and comment, or they can catch the replay. Still comment, but it's there for them.
Oh, okay. Well,
do the thoughts that you allow into your head and into your mind really matter? That's my theme this week.
Ooh. Okay, I might actually jump on it right away. So everyone, we're going to let Cheryl go so that she can stay there, but stay online with me for just a few more moments. And Cheryl, I'll actually pop on just to say hello to you while you're there right on your show afterwards, okay?
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. Thank you to everybody out there. I'm sending much love and light to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, I'll see you in just a few moments. Bye, Cheryl.
Okay. Bye.
So everybody, that was Cheryl Piper. And as she just said, you can jump over and see her and right now. And that's actually kind of neat because then you can see her. And she's just lovely to look at. She really radiates this kind of tenderness that we're talking about in love. And I really think it's because when Cheryl, when we all really honor, and she used that word earlier, when we honor ourselves and what it is that our souls, you know, get through that ego layer, and we go into the heart space and say, what is it you need? And I want to close off in this final minute to share with everybody, these shows I absolutely do to
share with all of you, because the journey that we go on, I'm telling you, these shows have made me my best self. And every guest has such a gift. And that's what we kind of talked about with Stern Marketing Academy, actually. There are people who do, when a person recognizes that they themselves have gifts, it is so easy to thought and receive the love of other people's gifts. And when you're closed off and your ego's there or your heart is hardened, you're not loving yourself and honoring yourself and highlighting and feeling what you have, you cannot see what gifts other people have. And it's so much easier. Life is so much easier when you don't have to do it all. You don't have to have all the gifts in the world to make your life complete, which we now know you cannot have a complete life. But you can share in the load, like get everybody, delegate, you know, like let somebody else do this for you and let somebody do this for you and be with you, and you can offer that in turn. So as I always hate saying goodbye, but we are just going to continue on this, all of our each individual journeys. And you know what, just like Lucy was not here today, but she did poke her head in. So everybody's got their own journey, and I have to let the cats go just like we have to let ourselves experience life. So thank you everybody for listening to Light on Living. I was your host, and I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and we had Cheryl Piper on with us today. Please join her there. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.